The reading today is from Philippians 4, 4 to 14. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles.
Here we go. Thank you, Michelle. Appreciate this. Hi, everyone. Again. What stood out to you from the reading?
Guard your heart.
Guard your heart.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Brent. Be content in all circumstances. Yeah. Yes. John. Be like Jesus. Yeah, that's the whole purpose of it. Look for the good things. Is that my dress? Hang on. We're going to do this. And then hopefully that'll help. She says, with confidence. All right, maybe if I, if I don't touch the antenna thing. Okay, we're going to try this. It works. Amelia.
The peace of God is beyond understanding.
Yes, the peace of God is beyond understanding. Die.
Do not be anxious.
Rick.
I have learned the secret.
I have learned the secret. Nice.
Put into practice all you have learned.
Put into practice all you have learned. This is my favorite passage, and if you've kept track of my sermons at all, this is like the third or fourth time I'm preaching on this passage. I just find it so applicable in all circumstances in life. It's so good. We have just celebrated Easter. Christ is risen. Hallelujah, that's it. And I have been on a journey of asking God, what does this mean for my everyday life? Obviously, I know, Jesus died for my sins and then he rose again, which means he defeated death. The power is his and all that is great. But like, what does that mean for my everyday life? Like, what do I do with that information? How can I live that in my normal day? And as I've been asking him, I think what he's been saying to me is, it's about my presence. For me, anyway. The fact that I have risen from the dead means I am ever present with you at all times. And what you're invited into is to tap into my presence at all times. You know how we say the kingdom of God is at hand? God's presence is at hand. It's like right here. And I get to grab it at all times. Christ is risen and his presence is at hand. The other thing I've been reflecting on for the last little while is that I think I'm a deeply jealous person. It's not very nice, is it? But I'm not so jealous of other people's possessions. I couldn't care less about stuff. In fact, I like not having anything because it means I have no responsibility for it. But I am jealous of people's lives. So if you know me at all, you know that I would much rather be married than single. So I am forever jealous of people who are married or have kids or have the life that I wish I had and don't have. On the surface, I very much have it under control. So my friend Mel got engaged the other week. Yes! And when I heard the news, my first reaction was, yes, this is happening. Sam's a good bloke. This is going to be great. I look forward to the wedding. I was very excited. That thought was immediately followed by, oh, and what about me? This just points out again that I am not, in fact, married. Yeah? And then I have a hold on it, and I go, okay, don't focus on it, because you don't want to take away from Mel's joy. So I move it to the side, and I continue to celebrate with her, and I do that with all my heart. It's not hard to celebrate. I'm a competent person, and I can manage my emotions, so it's fine on the outside. But when I stop long enough, I realize that actually deep down there's always an undercurrent of, but I'm not happy with this. I would much rather, blah, blah, blah. Now, you might not be someone who is, who compares themselves or their lives. You might not be someone who's jealous or that's a thing you fall into. But what also is happening is the world is in chaos. We've got wars that we're worried about. We've got people who are sick or unwell in some way that we're worried about. We worry about our jobs or we worry about our kids, or we're not excited about our marriage anymore, or whatever it is that is going on for us. Stuff happens, and it's around us all the time. And there's suffering, there's disappointment, life's not as we expected it. And so I turned to Philippians. Because Paul is someone who has lived suffering like no one else. He was someone who was sick. He was someone who was put in prison. He had to endure shipwrecks. He had to endure beatings. There were challenges around him all the time. Or at least ever since he started following Jesus. Great, isn't it? And while he was in prison, he writes this letter about joy and about peace and about no worries. And also this part about being content, which I'm just going to read out again because it is so good. I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I think Paul has looked at his circumstances and gone, I'm going to embrace them. I'm going to embrace my suffering. I am wanting my circumstances to be what teaches me to be more like Jesus. So I'm not going to expect life to be easy and straightforward. Instead, whatever comes, I'm going to want that to shape me more into who Jesus was. And also, he depended on Jesus for his strength. Verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, not by himself, but through Jesus. Contentment is not something that comes naturally to us humans. For some reason, we're wired that we're not content, always, looking for something better, always striving for something else. And that's not necessarily bad, except when we get stuck in the not being content, then it's unhelpful. But according to Paul, we can learn it. I have learned the secret. I have learned to be content. So, there are two things to the sermon today, two keys that I think Paul was living, which I want to learn from in my life, in which I encourage you to tap into today as well. The first one is posture. And the second one is presence. Ooh, so good. Okay, posture. There is a, I'm going to jump straight into a shape. It's always good to have a shape that we can orientate ourselves on. There is a shape called the drama triangle. And we have talked about this before, but this is then just a reminder if you've heard about this before. Okay, so the drama triangle looks like this. And we fall into this when there's any conflict, when there's any conflict with other people, but also if there's conflict in our own lives, like challenges come or sufferings come or, you know, we're getting stuck in a thought pattern. We end up in the drama triangle, and there are three positions that we tend to fall into. One of them usually we most go to, one of the three, but we can also flit around all of them. And the three are victim, persecutor, and rescuer. That's right, thank you. I personally fall most into victim. Okay, so if anything happens, I go, poor me. Could everybody have some sympathy, please? Yeah? I am not doing very well. I hope people see that. Yeah? So the victim goes, poor me, I need some rescuing, please. Yeah? The persecutor goes, whose fault is it? Who can we blame? Yeah? We need to fix this. Who can we blame? Also something we do. And the rescuer goes, let me solve this for you. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to fix this for you. Yeah? So all of this is a bit traumatic. And we all tend to have a tendency to fall into one of them. Turn to a neighbor and share which one jumps out at you most, where you go, I think that's me. Okay. That's so good. It also might depend on the situation. You might fall into one in one situation, and then the next situation comes around, and you jump to another one, and it's fine. We all fall into this. This is not, special to us who sit in this church. This is everybody in the world, or at least in the Western world. I feel like I can only ever speak about that. So this was the drama, but someone's come up with the, oh my goodness, the word. Empowerment triangle, yeah? So we change the drama into empowerment. And what happens is the victim becomes the coach. Nope, the creator. Thank you, Tim. The victim becomes the creator, and the rescuer becomes the coach. And the persecutor becomes the challenger. That's it. The challenger. So the victim goes from poor me, you know, look at me, I'm so poorly, goes to what can I do to embrace the situation? What can I do to fix it? What does my posture need to be? How can I work with this? Not just be affected by it, but work with it, yeah? The persecutor goes to, from, whose fault is it, who can we blame, to, you can do it. I believe in you. Let's work something out together, yeah? It's going to challenge and say, we can do this. And the rescuer goes to coach, going from, let me solve this for you, into, what do you need? I'm available, but what do you need? I'm not going to tell you what you need. You're going to think about what you're going to need, and I'm going to help you, but it's on you. So what we're basically doing is going from being dramatic to being empowered. And I think the empowerment triangle is where Paul lived. He has gone from all this stuff is happening to me to what can I do to embrace this? And he's gone straight to Jesus and has gone, I want all this to shape me more into the way Jesus was. I want to be growing at all times. I want to not be victim to my circumstances. I'm going to embrace what is going on and be formed more into his image. So that's one part of Paul. And then the other part is he spent time in God's presence, and I think not just for quiet times in the mornings, but all day, every day, all the time he spent in God's presence. And there are different ways different people connect with God's presence. Some of us are more practiced than others as well, but this is always something we can do more of or jump more into or embrace more in our lives. When I was at Bible college, I had a professor who was awesome at sharing stuff with us in a creative way so that it stuck. There are heaps of things that I remember from his lessons that I don't remember from any of the other stuff I learned because he was so just practical about everything. And one of the things that he shared with us was the 9 sacred pathways by a guy called Gary Chapman. So he wrote a book, and he came up with 9 ways that people connect with God best. And this is just a list of, you know, you might go, there's another way, and this is me. But I thought I'd mention them. And then when you're in your small groups this week, you can explore a bit more those pathways and what might be some way that you have encountered God before or that you want to explore a bit more because it sounds fascinating and you might be interested in diving deeper into God's presence. So the first one is the natural list. It's already in the word nature. The naturalist is someone who best connects with God outside, in nature, in his creation. Hearing the birds sing, feeling the ocean on your feet, watching the sunset, smelling a flower, whatever it is outside that inspires you to connect with Jesus' presence that is right here. Yeah, the naturalist. Then there's the sensate. That is someone who connects with God through their senses, music or art. When Fossey, my professor, was doing this with us, he got us to imagine making a beautiful cup of tea. You can imagine coffee if you rather than coffee. And looking at it and smelling it and then taking the first sip and tasting it and then feeling it, feeling the hot go down, and, you know? And he made us imagine it in such a way that I've always gone, wow, a cup of tea can be so beautiful. And a way to connect with God, because God has given us our senses to experience him. So you might be someone who experiences God most in art or music or your senses. Then there's the traditionalist. That is someone who connects with God most through rhythms and rituals and symbols. Coming to church every morning, every Sunday morning. Having the same liturgy every week. Always lighting a candle when you have your quiet time. Anything that helps you, that is sort of the same or that repeats itself or that has been done for generations, for years and years, for hundreds of years, people have done this to connect with God, is something that helps you connect with God. Then there's the ascetic. That is someone who connects with God through solitude and silence, spending time all by yourself, closing the door, no distractions, spending time in silence, nobody else around you, somebody who connects with God through silence and solitude and simplicity. Then there's the activist. Someone who connects with God through being active, responding in some way, shape, or form. Loving God through confrontation, going, something's not right, I'm going to do something about that. Connecting with God through that is a thing. Yeah, it's not just doing, it's also connecting with God when people are passionate about justice. It's really good. Then there's the caregiver. That is someone who loves God and connects with God by loving others, seeing a need and responding to it, connecting with God by serving someone else. Then there's the enthusiast. The enthusiast is someone who connects with God through mystery and celebration. It's like, what in the world is mystery and celebration? It's the feelings that you can't explain. The peace of God that you can't explain that, you know, comes on you. That's a mystery. How does that happen? But it's a way to connect with God. It's celebrating. It's out being out and partying and experiencing God in joy and celebration. The enthusiast is someone who experiences God through mystery and celebration. Then there's the contemplative. Oh, I think it's called contemplate. Hang on. No, contemplative. Ooh, tabs. English. This is my second language. The contemplative is someone who connects with God through adoration, worship, psalms, outside, again, praising God in nature, whatever, music, anything that adores God with all your heart. And then there's the intellectual. That is someone who connects with God. Oh, intellectual. Through their mind, through studying and learning, studying the word, memorizing scripture, reading theological books. Those are just 9 things. There might be more. But I encourage you to spend some time in your small group. I'll list them in the small group material so you have a description. Spend some time thinking about this and going, have I experienced God in all his fullness? Is there a way for me to connect with his presence more that I haven't explored yet or that I've forgotten about? I used to always have worship times. Why don't I have personal worship times anymore? Or, you know, I used to go away on retreats. Why don't I have a retreat anymore? Take some time exploring. God, what are you inviting me into? How can I connect with your presence more that I haven't done in a while or that I have never tried before or that I need to be reminded of or that I want to continue because I'm already doing a good job? So there's this stuff. There's also rhythms, which is something we talk about a lot here, but having regular rhythms of connecting with the presence of God is important. To think about, how am I spending my time? On a daily basis, do I have a daily prayer time? On a weekly basis, you know, going for a weekly prayer walk or anything. On a monthly or termly basis, having a retreat where you actually go away for a day or two or three and spend time in silence and solitude. On a yearly basis, going away on holiday and celebrating life and enjoyment and experiencing God through that. So it's good for us to have rhythms in place that help us to connect with God so that it becomes normal in the everyday. And then in the everyday, there's also things we can do. Like, you know how Caleb has a phone that has an alarm every hour, the thing goes off. But it's because he wants to be reminded that he can connect with God right in this moment, on the hour. I've had times where, you know, I've always prayed for this person while I was brushing my teeth. So every morning and night while I was brushing my teeth, I was praying for the same person. Or we can use the sitting in the car, or whenever we pick up the phone, we pray first. Or, you know, we can use the things that we do every day as a way to connect with God every time. And then his presence is at hand. And then we don't do the stuff by ourselves, then we're so connected with his goodness and his presence that his strength is in us. And then we can have a posture of, I'm going to embrace whatever happens, and I'm going to ask God to transform me
more into his likeness through whatever happens. Live the resurrection life. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing our final song. And in the process, I invite you to ask God, what are you inviting me into today? Something with my posture, something with your presence, something else that has been floating in your mind right now. But yes, let me pray. You are so good. God, you are so good, and it is a privilege to be called your children. We thank you, God, that you have gone on the cross and that you have then risen again. You are alive and you want to live with us. And I pray that as we go from here, we are able to tap into your presence at all times. Rest in your goodness. Lie back in your peace. Experience your joy. Have our minds set on things that are good and pleasing and lovely. God, I pray that in all things we are able to see you and therefore have the right perspective on stuff and know ourselves to be safe because you are safe and you are here. So come, Holy Spirit, and flood us again with your presence and power. Thank you. Amen.